Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to Divine Intervention. And for me, this is one of the special treats, because when I started exploring South African wine, one of the first estates I visited was Klein Constantia. At the time, it was owned by the Juster family, and I grew to know and like Lowell Juster a lot. I've been privileged enough to have a lunch in the cellar going through some of his private collection before the farm was sold on to all sorts of people. So for me, this should be fun. I haven't tasted these two particular wines myself, but I'm looking forward to them. Before I introduce the wines, welcome to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, hi.
Oh, hello. Looking forward to this taste.
Michael, of course, is once again on the line from Cape Town. One of these days, we're going to have to pull you out of your comfort zone and bring you up to the excitement that is Gauteng. And in the excitement that is Gauteng, we've got some very exciting tasters with me in the studio. We have Jeremy Sampson, branding doyen. I'm not sure how you spell that, certainly how you pronounce it after a few bottles. But hello, doyen.
Thank you, John. Better than diva.
Oh, I don't know. I think with the right wardrobe, you'd make a very good diva. Colleen Morris from Wine Menu, the boutique wine store, which is not just for the pretentious in the Bluebird Centre. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
To Chris Gilmore from ABSA. Always a treat to have you with us, Chris.
Always a treat to be here, John.
Because you're very pithy. As a Scotsman, you guard your words jealously even. And last but not least, certainly not least, our Cape Wine Master, Debbie van Flymen from, Grape Slave, what else?
Grape Slave, DVF Wine Distributors.
Okay, so Debbie's in the wine business, but she also knows a hell of a lot about it. Okay, Michael, enough waffle from me. This is a Sauvignon Blanc from Klein Constantia. Tell us about it.
I'm sitting here looking up onto the Klein Constantia vineyards.
Oh, we hate you.
I was up there last week and had a walk through the cellar. They put in a huge amount of effort in the cellar in 2015, new tanks and all sorts of things, so that they can really focus on Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, they make other truly great wines, but the Sauvignon Blanc is really their big thing. And Matthew Day, the winemaker, I think has been there long enough now to get to know the vineyards very well. Craig Harris, who's the vineyardist, is doing a great job. So there's some very exciting stuff happening there. And what they've done here is obviously they've picked different vineyards of Sauvignon Blanc, because they've got vineyards that start down low and then go right up into the mountain. They hand sort, and then the grapes are pressed, and the free run juice only is used. It's fermented in stainless steel tanks, and then it lies on the lees for about 7 months, which of course helps to build that lovely creamy lip palate that this wine has. It's a beautiful color in the glass, sort of gem bright straw, and then on the nose, there's again that white peach. I don't know whether I'd be interested to know whether that maybe picks up a little bit of black currant there as well. But there's a lovely sort of tropical fruit, and that follows through onto the palate, giving you this wonderful full, complex, layered palette with this finish. It just seems to go on forever and ever, and there's that lovely little touch of mineral at the end there too.
Well, I like the balance in this, Michael. We recently tasted another Sauvignon Blanc, or Sauvignon Blanc if you're French, which I found a bit acidic. I think this is much better balanced. For me, the Klein Constantia Sauvignon Blanc is a wine I will always head to on a wine list. If I'm in a restaurant, I want to order a white. I want to order a white that I will enjoy. I have to say, though, I have tried to pair this, and this is the only time I'm consciously aware of a wine and a food combination that didn't quite work. I have paired this with Parma ham and melon, and it really hasn't worked. But I think if one can deviate from Parma ham and melon, this is certainly a white wine to be enjoyed. Debbie, Michael was asking if you found any blackberries in yours. I think it's been pretty well filtered.
Blackberries, no, but blackcurrant.
Oh, blackcurrant, same thing.
And for me in particular, it's actually not just blackcurrant, it's blackcurrant leaf. It's got that really lovely balance to it. I think this is an incredibly well-made wine. I think it's an enjoyable drink now, but I think it's definitely age-worthy. I had the privilege earlier this year of tasting with Matthew and his team when they were in Joburg, and they presented not just this Clain Constantia Sauvignon Blanc, but some of their individual vineyard selections of Sauvignon Blanc. They do have a Pere de Blocker, and they've got a Matisse, different styles, different expressions. And I think Matthew and his team are mastering Sauvignon Blanc. I think they're doing some incredible things here. And Michael mentioned the revamp of the cellars. I think this is very smart drinking Sauvignon Blanc and will give a consumer a great amount of pleasure.
Chris Gilmore, is it giving you any pleasure at all?
It is indeed. Very fruity, very smooth, very creamy. And as Debbie says, very professionally made. Really rather nice wine. You know, I'm not a great white wine drinker, but, you know, in the past few events that we've been having in Divine Intervention, there have been some really great wines, and this is lovely.
Well, the Divine Intervention does try to lean towards greatness, but occasionally we will drink cheaper and cheerful stuff just to illustrate what great variety there is in the South African wine industry. And, of course, not everyone can afford an expensive bottle of wine every night. Corinne does, because she shoplifts from her own shop. Corinne?
Yeah, I sometimes buy in what I would most like myself. I think when it comes to Clain Constantia, Sauvignon Blanc has got a long-standing record. It's known for the winery who released a very famous old vintage by accident. Well, they tasted the old vintage by accident. It was so beautiful. So Clain Constantia has really proved that their Sauvignon Blanc that they make is worth the keep, or it's okay if you forget it because it's going to be beautiful years down the line. But yes, I would like to just say to those Frenchies that are listening, because I'm sure you've got a lot of Frenchies listening to this, you must try the Matisse Sauvignon Blanc from Clain Constantia. It's made in conjunction with Pascal Jolivet from Sancerre, and it's just such a beautiful wine. And this is just sort of this is the tip of the iceberg of what Clain Constantia can do when it comes to Sauvignon Blanc. As beautiful as this is, if you haven't tried all the other Sauvignon Blancs yet, you're in for a serious treat. These guys know what they're doing. And Matthew, the current winemaker, he's a young guy. He knows what he's doing, and he's bringing such beautiful things to the fore. He's putting Clain Constantia back on the map. And yeah, I'm really excited about Clain Constantia as an estate for now and for the future.
Well, talking of aging well, Jeremy Sampson.
Thanks, John. But like you, I have a relationship with Clain Constantia that goes back a long, long way. One of my favourite Italian restaurants in Johannesburg was run by a guy called Frank, help me here, Swainston.
Yes.
And I remember going to his restaurant at Clain Constantia when he ran it, and it was absolutely magical. And sitting in that restaurant, looking out of the sort of large window at the way the valley and the mountains, absolutely incredible. And I was lucky enough to stay there about 3 years ago, just before it closed down. So the three restaurants that were there, the wines, absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And I actually tried to gate crash the estate about 10 months ago. But two gentlemen who actually looked as though they had armaments over their shoulders actually said, no, this is private now, go away. But the wine is stunning. The wine is superb. And it's great to see a brand like this coming back again very, very strongly.
Mm. Michael, I feel a little worrying that somewhere that was so nice to visit, if Jeremy's experience is shared by others, is less accessible. Because after all, part of the future of our tourism industry is people coming to our country and visiting wine estates.
John, Jeremy's confusing Clain Constantia and Constantia Aitza.
Aha! Well, in that case, we shall sack him. We won't have him back next time.
So Clain Constantia also has beautiful views.
Mm.
and beautiful wines.
Yeah, well, you can still visit Lake Constantia.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I will next time I'm down in the Cape, and I haven't been down to the Cape for over a year. When were you last in the Cape, Debbie?
I arrived back very late last night and actually happened to drive past Lake Constantia on my last route. So
you must get a new sat nav.
Yeah, clearly I should have stopped, but they are really doing some spectacular things, and I think that they are certainly a winery to watch. The focus on Sauvignon Blanc, as well as their incredible dessert wine, for which they are so well known, the Vin de Constance, which has really flown the flag for South African wines for many, many, many years. And as a great stalwart, I don't think we should leave that out of this conversation. Absolutely. It is a go-to and something that's sought out by many international visitors.
Well, Lake Constantia, stalwarts and all. Moving on, that was a really enjoyable... I think someone's about to hit me with a bottle. That was a really enjoyable white. Is the red any good? It's a red blend, I think, Michael Oliphant. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it certainly is. Look, at Lake Constantia, the reds that they focus on are Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. And these, in fact, are the three grapes that are used in the Estate Red Blend, the 2013. It's led by Cabernet. There's 68% of Cabernet in there, and then roughly sort of equal parts of Petit Verdot and Malbec. What they do is they identify the block from which the grapes for this blend are going to come. They then split the blocks up, harvest over a period of time, so that they get everything in it at absolutely perfect ripeness. They do the berry sort, they do the bunch sort to make sure that only the best grapes go through. And then fermentation takes place, malolactic in 50% new French oak barrels, and then back into barrel again for 15 months before the wine is blended and bottled. Very elegant bottle to look at, with that lovely embossing of Constantia at the neck. They've redesigned their label slightly, which I find hugely attractive. The wine itself is this deep, deep blood plum, Satsuma plum kind of red in the middle, which pales out to ruby and garnet at the edges. I think that what Matthew has done is he's blended these three, he's brushed them with oak, and he's just managed to make the whole thing work, where the three different grape types, the oak, the acidity, the tannins, are all in such perfect harmony. Lovely, lovely, elegant wine. Great palate, nice and big. Lots of dark red fruit there. And this finish that just goes on, and fruity and dry and wonderful.
Well, I have a birthday this year, Michael. Buy me some. I'm really enjoying this. Given the challenges of your sat-nav, Jeremy Sampson, should you ever be able to successfully find Lake Constantia, would you be happy to swig back a glass there?
You see, I'm confused by the embossing on the bottle that says Constantia. But as Michael says, Vin de Constance is probably, to a lot of people, South Africa's most iconic wine.
It's not what we're tasting. Tell us about this one.
This Lake Constantia, the labelling, pure branding, Lake Constantia, just the descriptor underneath, the simplicity of the whole thing, and the simplicity and the quality of the wine just oozes out. Nothing here pretentious. They don't have to play games. The quality says it all.
So you're enjoying it?
John, give me the case, please.
Well, you have a birthday too.
I think most people do.
Happens each year. Colin, you were busy heckling. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, I think that Lake Constantia has done a good job here, and I must admit that I think that the great investments that's happened at this farm with the new owners is paying off. They're using the right kind of equipment and barrels and everything in the cellar, obviously. And I can just congratulate Matthew Day on what he's produced here. I think he's done a fantastic job. Craig, who's the viticulturist there, also comes from a great background of being at Paul Kluwer for many, many years. And they're a formidable team. And I think that, yeah, Clan Constantia is going upwards and onwards. Just on a point, we spoke the other day about areas. And Constantia is another area that's really trying to show people that they stand together as an area. And that's why they came out with a special embossing on the actual bottle that says Constantia, South Africa. And they're trying to tell people we are from the same area, and they want to really put their stamp as an area out there. And that's fantastic. So you cannot have that bottle unless all your grapes are from Constantia. So fantastic. So we know this is a true Constantia wine, and that's fantastic.
And just a quick aside from me, we quite often go to a little pizza place near here after our tastings just to fortify ourselves. And we went there with a chap called Miguel Chan, who's the chief sommelier from the Soho Sun Group. And I was a little baffled by the rather short wine list. He homed in on a Clan Constantia wine. I think it's their KC label, a rosé. And I must say, I've drunk more of that in Joburg restaurants than anything else. Michael, they do have another range, don't they, of more affordable wines, but
yes,
damn good.
Absolutely. No, it's called KC, and there's a rosé and a white and a red.
Okay, well, from that diversion onto the opinions of our esteemed panel on what we're drinking now, which is the red blend, Chris Gilmore.
Lovely wine. I mean, this really is beautiful. And again, harping back to what we said about the white, again, awfully professionally made, incredibly smooth. Oh, man, this is a VVVVQ, Jeremy Sampson.
Okay, well, voluptuous.
While our listeners are getting their code books out, Debbie Van Vlaanderen.
Well, I don't think we need to use any acronyms or any abbreviations with this wine. It is a fine wine. They've done a tremendous job of producing something that is really juicy, ready to enjoy at this moment in time, and that has great longevity ahead of it. I think that they are making some tremendously smart wine, and I've noticed in this studio that none of us are spitting this.
Well, who would? Unfortunately, we're out of time, but many thanks to our tasting panel again in Joburg, to Debbie Van Vlaanderen, Chris Gilmore, Corny Morris, and Jeremy Sampson. And of course, many thanks to our expert down in Cape Town, Michael Olivier, for sourcing and finding us these wines. Many thanks, Michael.
Oh, such a pleasure, John. Take care.
And a final word of thank you to Malcolm McDonald, who makes all of this possible. We think that's a good thing. Hopefully you do as well. I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.